I mentioned it's Friday, December 5th, 2014. It is not Groundhog Day, but forgive me if it feels a little bit like it, because we're once again talking about a budget battle and a shutdown and all of these things that my friend Tom Shoup and I, the editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine, have talked about for, what now, Tom? Like the last 2 years, it seems like. We're back again at this same slot. We have just a few days left. Government shutdown, budget battle, blah, 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 blah. It's starting to turn into white noise like Charlie Brown's teacher that we just hear, wah, 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 wah. And yet, we have to report, because we're news organizations. Here we are again, and this is what Mr. or Ms. Federal employee at least have to think about a little bit between now and the end of next week. Right, Tom?
Yeah, it does seem to be the same story over and over again with slight variations, and this time there doesn't seem to be a lot of huge fear that there will be an actual shutdown next week, but the prospect looms, and it could be a messy process, even if there isn't a shutdown, of kicking the can further down the road or funding most of government but not all of it. So it always seems to be one con story after another.
There are a lot of questions that I could ask, some of them rhetorical questions and some of them procedural questions having to do with why somebody thinks this is a good idea to do this again. I'll save those for another time, or maybe when we've had a little bit more to drink than we've had this afternoon, Tom, because they do grate on you after a while. But the point of this is, we don't seem to be able to break this mold of pushing people to the brink and then yanking them back and pushing them and yanking them and pushing them and yanking them. And that's what concerns me the most about all of this, I think.
Yeah, I think that to a certain extent people get sort of numb to it after a while, but it is destabilizing and debilitating for the federal workforce, and we haven't seen them be able to break through the political logjam yet. You know, John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, in the wake of the election, said all the right things about we're not going to have shutdowns anymore, and we need to show that we can govern, and they're moving in that direction, and it looks like the plan is in place to get funding bills passed, but they haven't proven yet that they can do it. And in the meantime, the dynamic is playing out the way it always has, with conservatives saying, hey, why are we giving in on this? And if we need to shut down the government, we'll shut down the government. And so in that sense, the dynamic has not really changed.
So here's why I'm a little more optimistic than I think some folks are, and it's a math problem. We'll start with this idea of the majority that rules the way that Speaker Boehner thinks about how to bring something to the floor, whether he'll even consider it, okay? So I don't know the exact number, but it's in the 220s or close to 230, the number of Republicans that are in the House of Representatives right now. So let's say, just for the sake of argument, that it's 225. It's close to that. That means that he would not bring a bill to the floor that he didn't know for a fact he could get 113 Republican votes for. That means he only needs 105 Democrats to come along and sign on to whatever this cromnibus thing looks like that they're going to drop on Monday. I have a hard time believing that, unless it's really just completely unpalatable, that he's not going to have a hard time getting 113 Republicans and 105 Democrats to vote for this. He gets the bill passed. He still gets to keep this idea of the majority concept in place and all of that. And if he were to abandon that, he could certainly make up in Democratic votes for the Republicans that he would lose for whoever's mad about the whole immigration thing and wants to hold off on funding the Homeland Security Department for the rest of the fiscal year. Does that math make sense to you, Tom, or am I missing something that you don't think I'm including in that equation?
No, I think you're roughly on target, assuming he can get that many Republicans to back what he wants to do, which is, I think, in this case, probably a reasonable assumption, but not necessarily a guarantee. And the other thing is, he could just ignore what they used to call it the Hastert rule with the majority of the majority and just say, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pass it with Democratic vote.
Yep.
So vote the way you want, but this is the plan, this is what we're going to follow, and we'll do other things like vote on your bill to, you know, rebuke Obama on immigration and overturn everything. But when it comes to these spending measures, the CR omnibus, that's the way we're going to go. And that's probably either, you know, the Democrats are making noise, oh, we might not support it. I doubt that. I think when push comes to shove, they're not going to take the chance that they'd be the ones responsible for a shutdown. So I don't, you know, I think the odds are pretty good there that he'll be able to come up with a strategy that that leads to them getting this through. But we've seen for years these things can take twists and turns at the last minute, and I wouldn't rule it out that there'd be a groundswell of opposition. And this is what I think: a shutdown is extremely unlikely. What is somewhat more likely to me is that they'll say, hey, this omnibus part of it is not worth doing. We should do the whole thing as a CR and then come back again early next year when we've got even bigger majorities and then we have more leverage. I wouldn't be shocked if that ended up being the scenario.
If that, I would think, yes, okay, I think you present a logical case for that. The fact that they can, that Republicans will run both chambers in January and so on. I wonder, though, if that was a possibility. I mean, that's been a possibility all along, and they could have done that a month ago if that was really where they wanted to go. So what I think is between the lines of what you're saying is if that is what winds up happening, it's their leadership will be dragged there kicking and screaming because it's not what they wanted to deal with. Is that a fair assumption on my part?
Yes. And the only concern I would have there is I would say in probably the last 2 years, the leadership got dragged kicking and screaming into doing something they didn't want to do. So I wouldn't be stunned if it happened again.
You flagged a story for me on GovExec. We have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. It's by your colleague from your sister publication, The National Journal, Lauren Fox. The first line in the story is, Senator Ted Cruz is playing de facto House conservatives leader once again, taking the podium Wednesday at an outdoors presser besides the House's most vocal border security hawks, Representatives Steve King and Michelle Bachmann. And the story goes on to talk about what they discussed at this news conference. Senator Cruz, inflammatory as always, and, you know, stating the beliefs that he believes he was elected to advocate for in Washington, but certainly making no bones about the fact that he is taking a very strident position against the administration's executive order on immigration. Fine. What strikes me there is I wasn't in attendance at this news conference. Lauren was. I wonder how many people were there, first of all, to pay attention to what they had to say, because Ted Cruz was one of the big shutdown advocates, and all the polling that we've seen about the shutdown as a whole and about the impact on individual agencies indicates nobody liked it. The members of Congress didn't like the results they got. The American people didn't like the results they got. And I just wonder who exactly, besides the reporters who covered this issue, is paying much attention to the three people named in that story, just because their ideas don't seem to be very popular, despite the fact that there is a cohort of people who do believe that they're right on target.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to tell at this point, and there are indications that there are substantially fewer people supporting this line of reasoning than there were last year at this time, or last year before the shutdown came around. So that may very well be true, but it's also possible that there will be more of a groundswell of opinion behind this idea than there is currently. A lot of people just aren't making a lot of noise about it right now. But, you know, this is a difficult thing for Republicans to do. They opened themselves up to the possibility that the next time they have to campaign, they'll get challenged by someone in a primary who says, you voted for Obama's huge spending bill. So I'm not sure. I know nobody really liked the effects of the shutdown. Particularly Republicans seem to come out the losers in that whole scenario. But still, I think it's not out of the question that there are enough of them who say it's worse to be seen as supporting or working with the administration in any way.
Well, the overall issue here seems to be, at least as far as the people that we care about, Tom, is what can happen to institute some kind of certainty and stability for the people who are trying to run the executive branch and for the vendor base that supports the people who are trying to run the executive branch. And I'll go back then to where I was at the beginning of our conversation, is this is Charlie Brown's teacher, where this kind of all just fades into the background. Actually, it's more like Lucy holding the football for Charlie Brown, if I have to use a Peanuts analogy, that the football keeps getting yanked out, and Charlie Brown winds up on laying on his back, conking his head.
Yeah. I mean, it is going to be difficult unless we can get back to something resembling regular budget order. But I'll give you what I think is the positive spin on that at this stage.
I like
we're
positive.
Better off than we were a year ago because the leaders in both parties are trying to send the message that they want to be more responsible about this process. And it is substantially likely that they'll carry through with that and win on it, and that the and Ted Cruz and the people that are following him will just be told, sorry, we're moving ahead and we're not going to refight this battle over and over again. I think that's a very likely scenario, and they seem to be very committed to that as leaders. Of course, then the question is, what will happen next year as this unfolds? Will they be able to actually do appropriations bills in a reasonable and timely manner? And will we go back to sequester again? So, there are still long-term questions, but we're certainly right now better off than we were a year ago.
Tom Shoups, editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine. You can read the story that he flagged. We have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Always good to have you on, my friend. Thanks for being with me.
Great being with you, as always.